Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you are doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, to please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that good stuff. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. And here's a reminder, we're still picking random listeners on a weekly basis who leave comments or rate us on Apple Podcasts and connect with us on social media and share our content. The winners will get a prize pack that includes one of our t-shirts and some other merchandise that I know you're going to love. Because like I always say, I will not give you shit that you cannot use. And yeah, just a reminder, man, this is going only through 2018. After that, there will be no more prize packs going out unless there's a special promotion or something that we're trying to do. There will be an ICBWpodcast.com merchandise store where you can get all of the I Could Be Wrong But I Doubt It merchandise for a very nominal fee, and we'd appreciate it if you would support that once we launch that. So without further delay, we're gonna get this thing rolling, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who's a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner podcast crime, Reg. What is the deal, Blake?
Hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, cuz. What's happening with you?
Man, it's, I'd been sick the past couple weeks, man. You know, getting over that.
Yeah.
Glad to be back on track, man. Back up in these motherfuckers' faces, man, trying to do some things, man.
Good to be back positive. In the studio, man.
Yeah, man, you know, we trying to do it, man. It's like the motherfucking world went mad while I was sick. I really needed my voice to talk about some of the bullshit that was going on, man, from, you know, from elections to more shootings. Yeah. To Trump's. I mean, we have a fucking derelict as a president. I mean, this dude is a degenerative, narcissistic. He's a fucking degenerate. He is a shitty ass human being.
Man, what else is new? Right?
He's a really fucking shitty human being, and I don't understand. Well, no, I do understand why he garners so much support, because America's a fucking racist country, and they like their racists.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But I will always tell y'all, stupid motherfuckers, man, racism is bad for business, man. Racism is bad for business, because, and I'm gonna say this shit for the 550th time. The reason why racism is bad for business, especially for middle class and poor white people, is because you're middle class and you're poor. You know, you're voting against your own self interest. You stupid motherfuckers.
Well,
you are so fucking stupid. It's ridiculous.
Yes, because they own the same code.
Yeah, they're on the same code, but they're on the same code. Right? Just like your boy said. What's my man's name? Bill Maher. This motherfucker put out a tweet.
He be killing Trump, man.
Man, he put out a tweet. He was like, you know, all these Republicans need to vote Democrat because, yeah, the caravan is not going to be in the news, but your ass is still going to have diabetes. and it makes so much sense because, like I said, I mean, you know, you and I both, you know, we live in, I would consider, not even middle class, but compared to, you know, most people, I would say we were probably upper middle class neighborhoods per se. and there's nothing that would make me vote for a Republican. You know, it's like, you know, based on what my household income is, I probably should vote Republican. But it just doesn't make any sense. And with these white people out here that are voting Republican that are either poor or, you know, middle class people, I'm thinking like, do you think that you actually voting for these people are going to give you a leg up on any other person that is not white? You know, we're already in the race running that shit. And we're going to get to the election shit in a minute. That's what the show's about today. We're going to talk about the elections briefly. But they don't realize is that, I mean, black folks, Latino folks, Asians, everybody's, we already in the race. You know, that they've put down all the obstacles and shit. You know, we got to run, you know, we got to hop in a potato sack with a blindfold with one arm behind our back. And we still killing their ass. we still doing it. And we're still succeeding in spite of that.
When you say we.
What I'm saying is people that are not. People that are not white, you know, I mean, there are success stories every day all around the globe, or this is not even going around the globe, around America, mm-hmm. where people are succeeding, but, you know, outside of the fact that there are so many, you know, white supremacist obstacles put in our way. And my larger point is mm-hmm. when it comes to this voting shit, what these white people don't realize is that. Well, first of all, let me go back to the genesis of why these dumb motherfuckers vote Republican. And it goes back to, I can't remember the exact president that basically said this shit, but he's like, if you can make white people feel better, if you can make the poorest white man feel better than the poorest black man, you know, you'll always get them to vote Republican.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that they're not. Who is the most educated demographic of people in the United States right now? Is black women.
Black women.
You see what I'm saying? So despite centuries of slavery, you know, decades of Jim Crow, mm-hmm. civil rights era and all that shit, the cream rises to the top. That's my point. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's like you're still voting against your self-interest and people are still winning. Now, obviously, there's, you know, generational things that have taken place that don't allow for a certain faction of our society to actually rise above that. And, you know, that stuff's well documented. But at the end of the day, the opportunities that have been given have been capitalized upon. And so in the bigger picture, if people would actually vote for what their actual social demographic is and not what their racial demographic is, I think we'd actually start to see change. You see what I'm saying? And again, you're asking for a deeply seated racist motherfucker not to be racist and vote for, let's say, you know, a black candidate that could actually help everybody. But see, they're so scared that, you know, that we're going to turn around and do the shit to them that they've done to us for centuries. Yeah. That's why they do that shit. And I'm thinking like, this shit is bad for business. You people are so fucking stupid that you can't even see past the fact that you're stupid.
Yeah, well, I think it goes to the notion of, and Richard Spencer said it several times. Richard Spencer is a known white nationalist, white supremacist, relatively young guy who has said on several platforms that I'm just interested in winning. I'm not interested in being fair, having any. Diversity, equality, none of that. I just want to win.
But that's
the mindset.
People are though, man.
So what I'm saying is throw out Republican, throw out Democrat. That is the mindset of those individuals that I just want to win. And to them, if you're the type of person that just only wants to win and you're following the theme of make America great again, and these other racist themes that empower and embolden them to do and act, say, and think in that type of way, or those ways, then they don't give a shit who's running for what. and who can do what? Because think about it. If the system is designed for me, I'm going to make, if I'm a white man, it doesn't matter if I'm Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. It's just say, hey, how can I make the system work for me? The system, you know, I got a foothold anyway.
But that's just it, bro. That's just it. And you make a 150% valid point. Is that they already got a leg up. This shit's built for them.
It's built for them.
But yet, they still have more people in poverty than anybody else.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and it's because they're more populous. You know what I'm saying? Their population is greater. So I'm thinking, like, you guys are still poor as fuck. So why, you know, it's the, I'm like, so who really has the slave mentality?
Yes, right. I mean, right. It's a mentality.
I'm thinking, like, y'all are so stupid.
I remember Chris Rock saying in one of his stand-ups, he said, there's not one white man in this audience that would trade places with me, and I'm rich. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's just like, I'm better than you. I should be better. I don't see my condition as being as poor. Right, I know that I have an entire economy that has my back.
Right.
When they, you know, a lot of times they don't. I'm not saying there's no fighting, you know, no civil war, if you will, amongst white folks in America. You see it every day. But at the end of the day, I think when they sit down, they're going to say, when they look at my black ass, they're going to say, I'm better than him and I can get more than him, right? It's still a power struggle, no matter if white or black or whatever. You got the powerful and the powerless. Now, the only thing is, who's at the bottom of the powerless group? And it's typically black Americans in this case.
Typically so, man. This is my rationale behind this shit too, because again, you know, this show is going to be talking about, you know, some of the election proceedings and the rationale behind, you know, the way people vote, not necessarily election results per se, because you can get those anywhere. But I think that when the shit hits the fan, these dumb motherfuckers still vote in mass. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where we don't necessarily do the same thing. I think there's a, and regardless of how you feel about voting one way or the other, as somebody that doesn't vote is not necessarily somebody that I really respect per se, but I respect the choice. You know what I'm saying? Because that's something that is intensely personal. And so I respect you saying yes or no. If you say no, I probably lose a little bit of respect for you personally, but I definitely respect your decision, and I will defend your decision to make your choice. You know what I'm saying? The right to make the choice. But I think that a lot of times, you know, black folks, we fail at the polls, you know, because we don't show up. And in this particular election, I think that the numbers were up in a lot of states. But, you know, we gotta do better, man. If you believe in the concept of the process, not necessarily the process per se, because the process will always leave some constituency behind. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's going to be some group that is going to get the short end of the stick.
And guess who that group is?
It's probably us.
And you know what's funny, man? Not to cut you off, is how Latinos and Mexican Americans end up voting Republican in a lot of these cases.
The
rhetoric
is
that I'm trying to build a wall. You see how they Trump and these guys treated Puerto Rico,
right? Right.
You know, it's amazing how, I mean, just to go back to the point you said earlier, is obvious slap in the face to your group. But again, stand back and you say, well, they're on cold for a reason. And I think it goes to identity. They identify, you know, a lot of times we hear the black-brown coalition talk or whatever.
I don't think they identify, man. I just think they want to be
that's it.
White. They want to be white.
That's my definition of identify.
Okay, my bad.
What is your identity? And I check the box of white, or I identify, you know, my social affiliations are white, and so on and so forth. My kids go to school white. So you live a white life, and typically it's the white, think about it, white Cubans, white, you take any country from, you know, south of North, you know, south of the United States, any white immigrant, if you will, I'll just call them immigrants, but any lighter skin white Cubans and South Americans and so on and so forth that come into the country will, I mean, they identify as white, and they ride that wave. But when they get in trouble, or when they need somebody to march for them and talk up for them, now it's a black and brown coalition.
Right.
And right. I think that's a big issue. And our dumbasses would jump on. And if you look at every black, whether it be male or female, who's running or who ran in the recent elections, their platforms about immigration. A lot of their platforms, right. One of their top three issues and concerns is about immigration. Immigration has not and does not necessarily positively impact the black struggle.
Yeah, but you are 100% correct. But the one thing that it will over time benefit, and this is the reason why these white folks don't want these Mexicans coming over and seeking asylum and going through the process of becoming American citizens by the book. Even though they say, you know, you seek asylum, do it legally, we'll welcome you, go through the citizenship process, you can be a citizen, you know, eventually. They don't really mean that shit. The reason being is because with all of the rhetoric and all of the talk, 7 to 14 years from now, when you have two generations of people that are now American citizens and they have the ability to vote, they don't really think that they're going to vote Republican. They can't. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the type of rhetoric. They'd be a little bit more welcome. You know, because you can't say, you know, keep out. Here's a wall. Fuck you. We don't even want you. But then try to make them vote for you. I don't even think the Republicans are that stupid.
So you think it's a party concern?
It's definitely a party concern. You know, the Democrats have been concerned with immigration as well, but it hasn't been about denying people entry. It's been about gaining entry the right way and being vetted to where we know who's actually coming in. But the spin that the Republicans put on it is that, you know, every Mexican that comes over the border is a rapist or a killer or a gang member,
right?
So on and so forth. And that's, and to be honest with you, man, that's not to say that some of these people aren't, you know, so I mean, because it could very well be, but that's going to be the small percentage, just like American society is right now. You know, it's a microcosm of the world in which we live. There's a certain percentage of us that you know, get it how we live, so to speak. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
It's always good, because you could have a mother and a husband, or a husband and a wife that do everything legally while they're in their home country. Come here legally, hit hard times, and then the husband has to do something illegal. You know what I'm saying? They're in a foreign country. They don't know the language. They don't understand anything, but they know the avenues to get it how they live. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, you could easily turn a positive situation into a negative situation, because we've been doing that shit for generations. You know what I'm saying? That's why we got numbers houses and liquor houses.
Right.
You know, we get it how we live. I mean, so it doesn't really matter where you're from. It's how you adapt to where you're at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole argument about there's a whole bunch of rapists and thieves and shit coming over, that's just not true.
Right.
It's not true. But, you know, you can breed these things. And I made a comment, man. I can't remember what show it's on, but I think we were talking about terrorism or something, and I said, man, that these Republicans really have to be careful. They're worried about, you know, the Muslim extremist type groups that, you know, they try to label, you know, some of the black nationalist groups in the you know, in the country as terrorist groups and things like that. Won't talk about the KKK or any of the other motherfuckers. But what they need to be worried about is breeding a terrorist group that's right on your border. You know, okay. Because I feel like that the treatment of, you know, the people from the country of Mexico, the way that we treat those people as a country, set up a lot of vendettas.
You think? You
know, yeah. And this is the thing. It's not like they can't get into the country.
They've
been doing this shit for.
Yeah, they've been doing it for decades.
So it's not like they can't get here. So it's like when you get here and now you have the intent to destroy or get revenge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they could easily adopt the same mindset as some of the Middle Easterners that want to destroy America, the whole quote unquote death to America thing. Mm-hmm. Because of whatever ideals that America holds on to, and they think that, okay, we're about sin and gluttony, right, and all this other shit. Capitalism, yeah, and destroying anybody that's not white, which, yeah, that's not too far off, but nonetheless.
Right.
You know, you gotta think that, I mean, I knew what we were talking about. We were talking about the camps where they were actually separating the families and shit like that. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that being the new slavery and things like that, separation of families. Mm-hmm. That shit can really come back to bite you, and it might not be today. But how do you know that 4-year-old child that may never see his mother again was ripped from his mother's arms? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's somewhere in a cage. You know what I'm saying? Y'all kind of sit up in a cage. How do you know that 16 years from now?
It could be. You know, I don't think that's like paramount on their list.
But I'm telling you, that's the problem. That is the problem. And that's the reason why the World Trade Center is not standing right now. Because they didn't think this shit was a fucking problem. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't think that this shit could be done. So, I mean, so that's my point, is that, I mean, you have the potential to breed. If you keep the child here 20 years from now, he has a grudge.
Could be.
Where's his mother? Maybe he never sees his mother again, never sees his father again, never sees her mother, her father again. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That could happen.
Just because black folks haven't decided to get their revenge yet, doesn't mean that another group of people ain't gonna do it.
See, I think the main scare.
You get what I'm saying, though?
I do.
Okay.
I do, and that could happen. I think because Mexicans and other immigrants know that they could be deported is why they typically keep their shit in order, or, you know, stay up under the radar. Black Americans, we're the only group. We're the only non-immigrants in this country, but we're the only group that cannot be deported. You can't deport us, native Black Americans, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of stuck with us.
Yeah, they're stuck with us like a motherfucker.
So Mexicans and you just go down a list of countries, they'll find a way to send your ass back and, you know, try to help destroy your family. But these people,
they fight to get back. You understand what I'm saying? They take an inordinate amount of risk from. I mean, dude, I mean, you've seen the pictures, man. They've stuffed in 18-wheelers, stuffed in dashboards of cars. And, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they take an inordinate amount of dangerous risk to be in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And so that speaks to a couple different things. And I'm going to try to tie this into the voting thing too, man, because this is kind of, just work with me on this. You know, the migrants that they were talking about, this caravan and everything that Trump pretty much campaigned on, when he was hitting all these red states, trying to bring, you know, trying to galvanize the base, try to bring all these crazy ass white people out to the polls. You know, he's going to send troops down to the border. Never mind the fact that they're like 1,000 miles away from the border.
Right.
If they walked, it'd be 44 days before they even got there. I think that's what they were saying on CNN.
Right.
So it's basically just some grandstanding shit. And how you gonna send troops to somebody else's border to try to fake people? You're gonna kill people from, you're gonna shoot people on
right, right.
I mean, you know, the whole shit was just some grandstanding shit to try to galvanize the base. And okay, I get it. You know, you're a piece of shit, that's what you do. Okay. But my bigger point is that, you know, these folks are taking these risks. They are, you know, enduring conditions that would make you vomit in this caravan to try to get to the place where we already are. And I think that it's sad that, going back to voter participation, I think that it's sad that we don't participate in exercising what our right is. Not necessarily, if you don't even look at it as a responsibility. It's your right.
Right.
A right that had to be fought for, though. You know, so when people say, there's blood on your vote, it fucking is blood on your vote. You know what I'm saying? And it's not people like, oh, well, you're talking about your ancestors. Like, man, no, motherfucker, I'm talking about my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so you got to understand that there are people that are willing to endure. Nigga, like, damn, I said nigga. $10 a nigga.
There it is. Shit. Yeah.
Fuck. But, like, they are willing to endure Texas-like heat on this caravan trail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the restrooms, man. Ain't no motherfucking Quick Trip on the way up from Guadalajara or whatever the hell they, you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, got no motherfucking Pilot, you know, gas station and shit.
That's fool.
You know what I'm saying? Fucking Exxon, where you can stop and piss.
So at what?
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Because there are people that are enduring this just to get the chance to set their foot on American soil to make a better life. Their shit is so fucked up over there.
So we think.
So crime ridden.
So we think.
But I'm just like, dude, thousands of motherfuckers can't be wrong. Look at the generations of Mexican Americans that are here now. You see what I'm saying? And it was worse then.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You know what I'm saying? The proof is in the people that are here and that are still trying to get here. So these people are willing to do all of this just to be in a place that we're kind of taking for granted. Now, keep in mind, our shit ain't been no motherfucking cakewalk.
Never has.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't been no cake, and it never will be. But what I'm saying, though, is that is the reason why, or one of the reasons why, that we should take the voting thing a little bit more seriously.
Because, you know, of immigrants, basically.
What I'm saying is that the desire, you know, I feel like that we've kind of become complacent. You know, the desire for people to have what we wake up to every single day. I can go flick my light switch, my fucking lights come on. You know what I'm saying?
But what's that? Tie that into voting.
Because it's a right that you have that's actually been fought for.
Okay. And it's a lot of things been fought for.
You're not getting what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have people that are coming from situations that are even worse. To try to our situation is their upgrade, is what I'm saying. But yet we won't take advantage of everything that has actually been fought for. That's my point. We sitting on the upgrade and we don't like it.
So when immigrants come into the country, who are they trying to replace? What group of people are they trying to replace?
I don't know. I mean, that's not something that I can really speak to, because I don't think that people come to the country to say, hey, we're going to replace
X amount
of people.
I think that
white people look at that, because they're the ones always talking about they're coming in to take our jobs.
What I'm saying is, if black people have been at the bottom from day one, immigration doesn't help black folk. It doesn't help us as a group. Sure, you can probably say about, you know, your personal experience, turning on the light and this. We have things that we have in this country that we take for granted. Yes. But It does not positively impact the black experience in America by immigrants coming into the country. I want people, if people come in and they come in lawfully and they want to enjoy life here, that, you know, a better life than what they had, more power to you. But what I'm saying is, let's not get it twisted as far as now who's going to be pushed down. I think Hispanics in this country have surpassed, I could be wrong, as far as population, where they definitely have been the fastest growing demographic, but I think they've surpassed us in number. How does that help black folks get what they need? How, you know, thinking about voting, our interests. Every candidate, black, white, Hispanic, what have you, and there's no Asian candidates, and we know why, because they take care of their shit. They have their own economy. But all the candidates have immigration as one of their top issues. And what kills me is the black candidates who have these immigration as a top concern, but yet you look at the state of Florida, Andrew Gillum, shout out to him, FAMU grad, what have you. But one of the top concerns in Florida should be stand your ground law. You got George Zimmerman walking around
like it's his birthday.
A known white supremacist.
Like it's his birthday, chilling.
Chilling. He probably eating at Applebee's right now somewhere in Florida, chilling. And the laws that's going on down there that have been in place, he should be a walking billboard on stand your ground, things that he's going to change specifically for black Americans. That's what's missing in all this voting stuff. We can talk about immigration, immigrants marching, and that's fine. I don't want any person mistreated on this planet. But when I think about people first, I got to think about my people first. We're the only group, black Americans are the only group that put other people's interests ahead of their own. And that's not by accident. That's by design. White folks take care of white folk. Asians take care of them. East Indians take care of themselves. Even Mexicans takes care of themselves. But when it comes to us, Democrat, Republican, elitist, you went to this school and that school, you're in that frat and this, that. It's so much division that we can't say, you know what? What are our key concerns? No matter what state you live in, city, county, town, whatever, what are the black concerns? Who are we going to back? Because you can't have politics without economics. So you got to have the money base first. And it's a lot of that's missing from us to put forth our own candidate and to put forth people that we trust to say, when you get in at that seat, at that table, you're going to speak for us specifically. Sure, you're going to talk about other issues, but what are you doing specifically for us? So it's hard for me to talk about immigration. As I see your points, but it's hard for me to sort of fall into that because I can't think of them first. I got to say, what are these candidates doing for people to look like me first? And it shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't feel funny. I don't like to be around people who bite, especially politicians who bite their tongue. They can't say, hey, yeah, sure, I'm a black man, I'm a black woman, proud to be that way. Here's what I want to do for black American, X, Y, and Z, whatever that agenda is. Show us your agenda. And that's what the streets are screaming. They're screaming for that, especially the young folks.
You know, I don't want to get it misconstrued that that I'm trying to look out for other people's interests other than what ours are first. It's not what I was saying.
Right.
You know, what I'm saying is that we should not take for granted what we have. You know, we're in a position to where we can affect change, and we should not let that particular opportunity pass us by. That's my entire point. I got kind of sidetracked talking about all the other shit, but at the end of the day, that's what I'm talking about. If you got to vote, you need to use that shit, and don't be sitting your ass on the bench. That's my point. But what you're saying is spot on, man. I think that people get a little bit disenfranchised in their mind before they even decide to withhold their vote, because, you know, and that's another thing, man. Withholding your vote is basically a vote for the people that are working against you. But
I disagree with that.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Only because if you, when you say like have the right to vote, you that's the right to vote or not vote. That's the right. It's the choice. So if you don't vote, for instance, in our recent local elections here, there was one. I try to do my homework before I vote. I vote with a purpose, and I try to understand the candidates. Matter of fact, a few years ago, 2 years ago, I actually emailed some of the local candidates and ended up having lunch with one of the city councilmen, and he was cool, black gentleman, and I just wanted to know, you know, straight up, he heard my concerns, he invited me to his office, you know. And so I try to get as involved as much as possible. Basically, what I'm saying is we have the right to say yet to go to the polls or not. And some people may not trust the system. And the reason that I go, I try to have some involvement. And what I was trying to say earlier was there was one seat that I didn't vote for. I skipped over an entire, I think it was a House of Representatives seat because I didn't know who they were. Republican, Democrat. I don't vote for a particular party. I just try to do some homework and strategize. Well, do we share our interests? So that was the only reason I said I disagree is because, really because of that. I just feel like it should not be a, hey man, this is my responsibility, but only if I feel like I know this guy, I trust him or her, I've seen his resume, I've worked with him before, I know what he can do, what she can do. Yes, I'm going to vote and I'm going to tell others about it. But if you don't know shit, if you can't vouch for somebody, if you ain't did your homework, if your interests don't match up with theirs, like what? But, you know, it's the whole voting for the lesser of two evils type of thing. And I don't believe in that and just casting a vote. And to your comment was, if you don't cast a vote, it's like casting a vote for the other person. That's just my take on it. If I don't vote, but if I don't vote, consciously don't vote, then I felt like, what have I won? What have I lost?
Okay.
What have I won? What have I lost?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can feel that a little bit, man, but I still think that in order to, even if you don't think this shit is going to change, you know, if you're that hopeless within, you know, within your existence, within a particular country, I think you ought to make plans to try to maybe, you know, do something else. I mean, really think about, you know, going to a place where you feel like that you're going to be appreciated. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that's not just, and I'm not trying to say, well, if you don't like it here, leave kind of shit. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we've worked tirelessly for centuries to try to have what little status we do have. And, you know, we can't be afraid to exercise options, whether that is voting, not voting,
right,
moving to, you know, different countries to try to live abroad, to do. I mean, that's the state of mind that we should kind of be in at this particular
and
point.
And voting can be a strategy for all that.
Right, right. You know? And that's basically what I'm saying. And I'm not telling people just to vote Democrat because you're black and shit. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's kind of like what you were saying. If you feel that there is a candidate that can really help affect the change, put what money you can behind that particular candidate, because we got to build economics. If you don't have the money, you can't really. Politics is such a fucking money game now. It's
always
one,
been.
It's, you know, it's one of those things where you have to come to the table with your money and a plan.
Yeah, I mean, but and it, you know, we've seen politicians, you know, sort of abuse that position. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, it's really how life is. If I want you to do something and I just say, hey, man, I want you to wash my car, man. I want you to wash my car. Okay, you may be motivated, maybe not. But if I give you $25, you might wash that car. It's like going, I was just talking to my cousin the other day. We were reminiscing on something, and he would always tip the bartender first. A lot of people don't do that. He would tip him handsomely. I mean, like, here's $50. Take care of me for the night. So it's getting crowded. That bartender is going to look for you first. Like, wait a minute. Right, where's the guy that gave me the bag?
Right.
Hey, man,
right.
I'm going to take care of what you need. It's 100 people at the bar. Same situation. Hey, candidate, here's my support. Here's a check from our organization or from me. Here are our requests. Here's what help we need. And it's up to him or her to say, well, maybe that compromises my integrity or not. If it doesn't, I got your back. I'm going to be a voice for you.
Well,
that's what it is. So economics definitely comes first before politics.
Right. Specifically speaking, man, I want to go back to some shit that you said regarding, you know, specific candidates and shit, man, and how you were saying that sometimes people don't feel engaged because they don't think that the person's going to really do anything for them or have their particular interest at heart, man. You know, we were having a conversation off air about Andrew Gillum, man, and I wanted to revisit that because I can't go into the site now. I guess they got it locked down since the election's over, and whatnot. But you know, you had said that you went on the site and you you saw where he had talked about several different things in regards to the platform that he was running on.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, it was interesting that because, like I said, with me not being a Florida resident and shit. You know, I didn't really delve deep into it. I mean, I kind of,
right.
I took the high level overview that everybody else was saying, and I kind of felt like that. Yeah, you know, it seemed like he'd be a good dude to kind of lead things in direction. But you know, upon looking at the shit that you were talking about, man, you know, there wasn't really any mention of black issues.
It never is.
And what you were saying, I mean, he went and he had a whole spiel dedicated to you know, LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Had a whole spiel dedicated to Israel. Why the fuck are you talking about Israel in a state election? If you're running for Senate, I can maybe see that. You know, House, Senate or House, I can see that.
That's where, not to cut you off, but real quick, that's where personal interests come into play with politicians. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but I would say a majority of them.
Right.
He's setting the pace. He's looking at 2020.
Right.
What is he going to run for? 2024. Right. He might be the next Barack Obama. Who knows from that standpoint? So he has to set certain things in order to get his, you know, his constituents in, you know, together so that he can get all the financial support he can get.
But you know what? This is the thing, though, man. And this is one thing that regardless of how I feel about people who don't vote and regardless of how I feel about voting. I will say this. The next politician that says, and shout out to Jordan Harris, District 186, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who said on this show that he's unapologetically black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I could vote in Philadelphia, I'd be voting for Jordan Harris. But the next politician that's running for any office that affects me that says I'm black, man. I'm blacker than a motherfucker, bro. You know, and I'm looking out for black people. You know, that's one of my interests is my people. Right. That's the motherfucker that I'm donating $10,000 to.
That's Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Ladies and gentlemen, he said a number, 10,000. So
that's the, if it's within the contribution limits, yeah, if right, that's within right. the contribution
there
limits,
it is.
That's whatever the max is that a lay person like me can donate. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Black folks just want to know that somebody, if you want to contribute to the system that we already know is not for us in the first place. All right. So let's get that out and open. We're continuing the democracy veil, okay? We're showing everything that we do in this country is just that we're expected to do, expected to. It goes like, why are you kneeling during the singing of the anthem? You're disrespecting the flag. Anything that goes against what democracy, what this theme of America, the concept of America is supposed to be, you know, that's bad. That, you know what I'm saying? But if you once we continue to do things that please the masses of the dominant society, then we have to keep in mind that we're keeping this thing going. The same system that's killing us, same system that's keeping us down. When we vote and when we participate, it's like a win. It's like a catch-22 type of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
I feel you, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know
how to flip it, but
no, I mean, you're making perfectly good sense, and I understand what you're saying. But again, like I said, I mean, you know, motherfuckers need to come out and say that they're trying to work in the interest of black people. And that's the one thing going back to what Representative Harris said on the show. He basically said, you know, I won't. And I'm paraphrasing, you know, air quotes here. I'll post the audio of it, of the snippet later. But he basically said, I want the rising tide to lift all boats.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to work to ensure that the ones around me are being lifted. You know, that's my responsibility, right, is what he was saying.
That's respect.
And I'm just saying, for a politician that's in a major metropolitan city, you know, Philadelphia is not fucking Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For him just to come out and to have that type of stance and be unapologetic about it. And, you know, we put the shit out there and he fucking got reelected. So,
yeah,
you know, so the shit can't be done. It's not like, you know, I mean, it's not like he came on here and held his tongue.
Yeah.
And tried to play politics and shit like that. I mean, she was straight up about the shit.
Because it's not like, you know, we're not in his district or right, anything, right. So we didn't have any.
But you know how it is. I mean, anything you said can and will be used against you.
Right.
You
know?
But he was straight up about it. And I don't understand. Well, no, I do understand why more politicians are like that. But, you know, you look at, you go to Stacey Abrams' website, and I was really, you know, pulling for her too. You know, another HBCU, you know, person. But, you know, you look at her shit too, and it don't say black on there at all either.
No. Show me one candidate in the history of this country that has anything that speaks specifically for black Americans, or since, you know, in the last 23 years, we've had internet, has a website that shows that.
You know, you probably won't find it, man. And, like I said, she definitely has, you know, LGBTQ rights,
of course,
immigrant justice, and maybe the economic mobility piece is something that that is supposed to speak to you know, the black folks or whatever. But again, like I said, I mean, you know, if you're gonna be in politics, man, I mean, and you know, we need to stop accepting. Being ignored.
That's
you
it.
You know, and I want to be careful on how, you know, frame this shit, because you know, I don't know Andrew Gillum, I don't know Stacey Abrams. I was pulling for them, quite honestly, because they're black. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
so I felt like that if given the opportunity that they would do the right thing. So I mean, I've never run for political office, so I don't know what the dynamics are or what the smart play is. Because if you're gonna do it, and you're putting that much money into it, and you're using these funds coming from other people, you have to play the smart play. So you know, I mean, that's just politics, right? So I mean, so I get that, but at the end of the day, man, I mean, I'm like you, man. I gotta know that you're gonna speak up for me,
right?
I gotta know, and that's why I say, man, the next one to come out and say, look. Black folks been catching hell for 500 years. It's time to pay up, motherfuckers.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And, I mean, and see, we're scared to say that.
I mean, because if you look at the list of people that have gotten money from the United States of America for the raping and the pillaging and the destruction of other countries, you look at the motherfuckers that have gotten paid, Black folks ain't on the motherfucking list.
Period.
So, you know, I feel like that, you know, if you don't want to, and I hate to get off on this motherfucking tangent, but fuck it, we here. If you want to talk about, we'll talk about, you know, just reparations or, you know, a restoration. I shouldn't have no motherfucking student loan debt.
Right. Shouldn't have, you know, to pay taxes.
I need to at least have a decade with no taxes. I need to have, you know, I'm just saying.
None of your descendants should ever pay taxes.
Right. I'm just saying ever. You know,
so, and that's just one way.
Right. Right. And so I'm thinking like, you know, I ought to be able to get a loan, no questions asked. You know, as long as my income says that I can afford this shit, right, I should be able to get a loan, no questions asked. You know,
my daughter
should never have to take out a loan for anything. You know what, right, I'm saying? I mean, so if you want to talk about real shit, you know, that's the real shit that actually builds, you know, because forgive us, white people, if we didn't steal everything that we had. You have to forgive us for not being fucking thieves and stealing every fucking thing that we have. Right. You know what I'm saying? Please forgive us.
Right, please.
You know, please forgive us for not being fucking thieves and rapists and plunderers. You know, we apologize for that, for not having that innate trait of evil. Right. You know, we apologize.
Right.
So, but since we're not that evil, you know, give a motherfucker what he need. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Motherfucker, what he need, and I've said this so many times, man, that it's almost comical. I'm just like, man, we don't really give a fuck about y'all. We just don't want you in our fucking way. Just get the fuck out the way. Quit putting up roadblocks for me to be successful. Because I'm telling you, when the playing field is level, we've proven time and time and time and time and time and time again and time and again and time and again that we are the most innovative, the most creative, the most resourceful, the most gifted race of people on the face of the fucking earth.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And this shit ain't even fucking close.
But unfortunately, we hadn't figured out how to take down the gorilla.
Right. Well, no. We know how to take down the gorilla, but motherfuckers are scared to bust a grape in a fruit fight. That's where the conflict comes in, because, like you say.
But it hadn't happened. That's like all.
You said, I'm telling you the reason why. The butter biscuit.
Yeah.
It's the butter biscuit.
Yeah,
as long as you got the elitist motherfuckers that are eating the butter biscuits,
right?
It's like it's not gonna happen. We know what needs to take place. You know, but every time you hear some shit on the news about some motherfucking violence, it's some involuntarily celibate white dude. You know, that shit got me about the dude that was I can't remember what he
in
shot
in California.
No, it was in California.
In he the Western Bar?
No, not that one. It's, I guess, the yoga studio.
Oh, in Tallahassee.
Yeah. He said he was involuntarily celibate. In other words, I can't get no ass.
Damn.
So I'm going to go kill some people.
Yeah, I saw some.
So I'm just like, we not out there doing that shit, America. This isn't Black folks out here doing this shit.
Yeah,
you know,
man,
what I'm saying? Google domestic terrorists and see how many black faces you come up. Let's come up with. You know what I'm saying? I can think of one off the top of my head, and that's the DC sniper. That's the only one I can think of.
And that was a setup, but we ain't gonna go into that.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah. But
I'm just saying.
It is, and a lot of them are ex-military.
Maybe
as well.
The Dallas dude. The Dallas dude, but I think that was some shady shit too.
Oh yeah.
That was real shady. But nonetheless. But again, like I said, man, we don't really give a fuck about y'all, man. We just want y'all out of the way. You know, collaboratively speaking, the country would be better if we could all get along. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years have proven that you guys don't want that shit to happen. You know what I'm saying? And since we're such an accommodating and such a loving people, we haven't fucking shot you all yet. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is.
But what you're saying makes sense. But unfortunately, we all don't really think that. A lot of black folks want to be catered and coddled by white mommy, white daddy. That's the problem. That's we're cooning and buck dancing our way into jobs, into opportunities, into what you're saying.
Right, man. You're right.
Hey, you know
it's
what?
It's the butter biscuits, bro.
What's wrong? I don't see racism. You got the Jesse Lee Petersons of the world and a lot of other coons who are talking this talk as if nothing, none of this exists.
Right.
So, you know, we need therapy as a group. We never got therapy as a group of people.
But this is the thing though, we ain't out here, you know, mass shooting motherfuckers either. But I mean, because that's the thing.
Not in us.
But because that's the thing that they always say, whenever somebody black commits a crime, they check his background, or even if they're a victim of the crime. See, Mr. Jean,
right
in Dallas, they check the background. White dude shoot somebody, go shoot some shit up. They blame the motherfucking gun.
Yeah.
or they just blame PTSD.
Right.
Or they say he was involuntarily celibate.
He's a lone wolf.
He can't
wolf
get no ass. He's this. A lone wolf. I'm like, that shit is inherently evil, dude.
But see, we didn't create this culture. And so, you know, unfortunately, we're products of it just like everyone else.
Right.
But we didn't create the culture. But innately, this isn't who we are. That's why we don't really go out and you don't see us doing this shit.
Yeah, and I guess you know people are probably wondering, what the fuck this shit got to do with voting in the elections? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because again, like I said, I mean, if we can mobilize and we can come together with our money and a plan, we can push the right agenda, and it would make voting worthwhile to the people that are maybe either on the fence or totally disengaged from the process because of the fact that there hasn't been consistent change. Because I see that and I understand that's what people are thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It ain't gonna change shit. I mean, I get that. I get it. But those are the things that we need to look at. We need to get our motherfucking money up. We need to get the right people in place. And then we need to go and actually execute the process that is in place. We're not gonna change the voting process. That's not something that we can change. So we're going to have to cast a ballot at some particular point. But those other two things, we can work on those. Those are our responsibility. The other thing is, we can't stop political corruption either, man. And voter corruption. You talk about, you know, what was this shit on the in Florida?
Florida and Georgia, actually.
I mean, but yeah. Goddamn, no, Florida is like the cesspool
of voter corruption.
I mean,
period.
You know. Like I said, Florida, they stole the 2000 election. You know, they are the motherfucking Debo of voting corruption, right? These motherfuckers said, what ballots?
Right.
What ballots?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Give me this damn seat.
You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? You know, and this motherfucking Democrats down there, they'd be like, my mama gave me that chain.
Yeah.
My mama gave me that chain. But look, man, I mean, Florida, man, these motherfuckers, man, I saw some shit online, man, where, and I think it was posted on Sunday the 11th, man. And these motherfuckers are talking about they collected a set of mysterious ballots in Opa-locka mail facility after Democrats raised concerns about the uncounted votes. So somebody had to say something, be like, hey, when did they get this?
Right.
Well, I mean, we missing about 70,000 to 80,000.
Right. And
they sitting in a motherfucking mail facility. The uncounted ballots have emerged as one of many battles over the fiercely contested Florida elections. Fiercely contested is not necessarily something that is happening. It's not fiercely contested, because either you count all the votes and one motherfucker wins and one motherfucker loses.
Right.
Or you don't count all the votes. You suppress some votes. You hide some votes. You eliminate some votes. And then the racist white people
right,
that's what's happening here. It's not fiercely contested, and it's definitely not fairly contested. So congratulations, Florida, for being the ass backwards inbred country fucks that you always have been. We appreciate you continuing to do that shit. We appreciate you fucking up another election. It's Florida, dude. It's Florida. It's like, you know, whenever some crazy shit jump off, I'll be like, man, they in Florida.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying? So, and I know you went to FAMU.
Shout out to
FAMU and shit, but
all our Florida listeners. We're not talking about you, we're just talking about the crazy motherfuckers.
So, but yeah, I mean, how the fuck are you? I mean,
but that's why people don't really trust the system, man. I mean, people who say I don't vote because of stuff like this, you can't blame them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't blame them. Corruption can happen. You just said it. Corruption can happen in any institution. I get it. People are going to be people. ain't gonna do really some terrible things. You just got to go with your gut, do your homework, strategize, and do things on purpose, and do things that match your interests. Again, my personal thing is if it doesn't, I don't play golf, right? Personally. So I'm not, if someone was talking about trying to round up people to play golf, I'll say, hey, I'll pass, you know. But if they're talking about basketball, something that interests me, then I'll throw my hat in the ring. So that's just how it is. That's my take on it with voting and your interest and your involvement.
So man, just to recap, man. Again, like I said, this was going to be a kind of an election follow up, you know, podcast. But we're not really into spitting out results because the information is out there. You know, we want to start a different type of conversation. That's what type of podcast this is. That's what it's always been. So, you know, check CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, or what the fuck you want to check to get your results. You know, we want to talk about the rationale behind the shit that's going on. And once again, white women have struck again. This is what they do.
Every time.
And I keep telling black people, black women especially, I don't know why you align yourself with this fucking feminist movement, because when the shit goes down, they vote for these racist ass white dudes. Because
the butter biscuits look good and they have their own personal interests.
I'm saying, but they vote for these racist white dudes every single time, bruh. They vote, I mean, they were like, you know, oh man, I'm telling you, black women, you got to wise up. You're the most educated demographic in the United States of America. Let's act like it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, let's act like it. You know what I'm saying? Cut that white feminist bullshit out. Please, please do that. I mean, there's some principles of it that I think you could take and make your own type of movement.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, equality and fair pay and things like that are those are human type of things that everyone needs to be concerned about.
Right.
But some of this other bullshit, man, black women, y'all need to separate from that shit. You know, and let these white women drive that motherfucking car all the way down to hell by themselves.
Right.
Because, I mean, y'all are really you're hitching yourself to the wrong motherfucking wagon, because they don't give a fuck about you. We told y'all that shit in what, episode 1, 2, or 3? Tried to tell y'all they don't give a fuck about y'all.
You're black first. And then you're a woman. Think about it. You're not going to get mistreated because you're a woman. You get mistreated because you're black, firstly.
Right.
So that's why you should put that first as well. It doesn't mean you hate people. It just means, hey, let
be
me look
smart
out
about the shit that
let
you
me
do.
Look out for my family right. first, and then I get with y'all. Right. Just like with your own personal families, right? And look out for your family first.
Right. And black dudes, man, we need to step shit up, man, and we need to be a whole lot more supportive, man. These sisters out here, I mean, beautiful, smart, ambitious sisters running fucking circles around our asses like it ain't shit, and they're doing it in fucking high heels like they're running a 400 yard dash and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to step our motherfucking game up and be a little bit more supportive too, and help and be out in front of, you know, whatever movement comes out from this shit. Because I really feel strongly that in some capacity there is going to be outside of the Me Too stuff and all those things that, you know, that have been necessary and have been helpful in trying to, you know, shed some light on some things. I think that at some point there is going to be a definitive black feminist movement that people are going to be able to identify with and to be able to jump on board. I just, you know, I'm a man, so I'm not going to sit up here trying to start this shit, but I will be on board with that shit, and I will try to put my face out there to try to help it, because, you know, women need men to be on board with shit like that. So I just feel it, man. I don't have any information or anything like that, but I just feel like that these white women are fucking up so bad, man.
Yeah.
They're fucking up so bad. I mean, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, this motherfucking Supreme Court Justice, you know, he out here taking pussy and shit. You know, I mean, Trump's in the White House. He's grabbing women by the pussy. He's calling black women all kind of names,
yeah,
you know, that are professional.
These reporters.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, so I'm just saying, y'all need to understand this shit. White women put this motherfucker in office. You know what I'm saying?
And they marching right beside you.
They marching right beside
you. Trying to get
us.
Yeah.
I mean, so y'all need to understand this shit. Get your motherfucking brains, you know, wrapped around exactly the situation that you're in. And that's not to say don't have any white friends or any of that shit. I'm just telling you. You need to look out for you, and we need to look out for us. Fuck these other motherfuckers.
That's it. I mean,
these other fools, man. So, so with that being said, man, like I said, I hope that everyone can become a little bit more engaged politically. We have a lot of infighting and shit too that needs to stop. You know, we're going to discuss that on another show at another time. But you know, we need to develop a plan, man. Put your money where your motherfucking mouth is. Start pushing the right candidates. And Red said something to me, man, off air before we got started today that was critical. And we're not gonna hold you too much longer, but it was critical. It's like, you know, black people want to hold people accountable after the fact.
Yeah.
What you were saying, you know, instead of right. saying, look, this is what the fuck we need right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't go up in here looking for something else. You know, if we ask you, you know, for education, you know, subsidies or, you know, loan forgiveness or things like that, if that's what we want you to fight for, go fight for that. Don't go in there and fight for, you know, no voter ID laws or some shit like that, or some other shit that appeals right. to some other group of people. And that's the type of pressure that we need to put on people up front. And not on the back end after they done went in the cabinet and they got the butter biscuits.
Right.
They done already went and got the butter biscuits. And then we like, why the fuck you bring back butter biscuits? We didn't ask for that shit. So that's how we need to approach the shit. And, you know, when we decide that we want to get to that particular point, I think we'll make some progress. To all the brothers and sisters out there that didn't vote, man, I hate that shit for you, man. I hate it for you. Because, you know, as you can see in a few of those races, especially in Georgia, and in Florida, where, you know, the percentage was so small, even with Florida fucking up the election, the percentage was still low enough to trigger an automatic recount. I think it's like, what, 0.5% or some shit like that. I don't know. I'm not a Florida resident, but I think that's the shit that I saw. It was already close enough to trigger the automatic recount. You know, so, and that's with them hiding ballots in a fucking mail facility.
Right.
Not counting some other ones, trying to suppress voters, doing all kind of other shit. That was with the white supremacist effect. You see what I'm saying? That was with the white supremacy effect. And it was still 0.5%. That's why it's important, dude. And if you would just want to take one example, if you do want to take one, because you can't really argue with the outcome. I will say this. If DeSantis is governor of Florida, I can guarantee you this. Your black life ain't going to get no better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if Gillum's in there, it may not get better either.
Right.
Like I said, it was already close with them stealing the shit to trigger automatic recount. So if everyone's fully engaged, that may not even be an issue that you have to even look at.
Yeah. But for those who didn't vote, they still... To me, it's a large demographic that's saying, the hell with the system, or I don't think, to what you said earlier, I don't think my vote is going to, Gillum, what's going to change? Tell me specifically, and that's what we've been talking about. What specifically, how specifically is my life going to change, and black folks, my family.
Especially when he's sitting up here talking about Israel and shit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so
I get it. So again, I didn't get it before, but I get it. I do get it.
It's like, I will say this real quick. Black folks, we get caught up into personalities. People who is smiling and grinning and not saying, okay, this is business. Voting is a business.
Right.
And what we talked about earlier,
your life's at fucking stake if you really want to think about it.
Right. I mean, and it really voting is. That costs money, because I'm, you know, that's taxpayer money as well. So my vote is like me putting money on the line. So if I'm putting money on the line, motherfucker, you better have my best. You better be representing what I want you to represent. If not, I'm going to sit this one out. If everybody else want to vote, I'm not going to disparage you if you do or if you don't. But I'm going to sit this one out, because this motherfucker ain't talking shit that is in line with me. So whether came out to vote or not, I'm just saying that's what.
Yeah, I get that. But going back to the point, and I knew it was something that I wanted to say. And even though Beto
Texas
lost, Yeah, even though he lost. Dude, he talked more about black issues than these black candidates.
That's true.
I mean, he was like straight caping for black women and shit. And I'm like, what part of the game is this?
It's called campaigning.
But what I'm saying, he didn't fool me though. But what I'm saying though is this. What I'm saying is this, and I'm going to tell you real quickly why I think it was sincere.
Really?
The reason why I think it's sincere is because he's in fucking Texas. He's not in some other state where he's not in New York where it's historically liberal. He's in fucking Texas, the same state that has tried to secede from the Union because they think the rest of the United States is such a fuck up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's in Texas where, I mean, Cruz and Bush, I'm just telling you, Texas has the reddest necks. If there is, they got the reddest necks in the motherfucking country. You know, for all of the little pockets of blackness that they have, you know, in Houston and all these other motherfucking places, Texas is white as fuck.
Yeah.
And for him to campaign on those issues, unless he just said, fuck it, I ain't gonna win this shit anyway, I'm just trying to get my name out there. That's a really, really calculated plan. Not saying that it couldn't happen, but I'm just saying he would have been doomed from the start, and he still was competitive.
But if you think about, he's not the first person to be, I think he was just a breath of fresh air to the average person, logical thinking person. Right. It was easy for him to say what the things he said because it's true.
He was just thinking, and that's the thing. You know, that's the thing that politicians normally don't do, is speak the truth, because they try to ride the, you know, the middle line.
But I tell you what they don't do more is once they get up in there, they don't hold, and I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them, especially white politicians, don't hold to what they say. Beto still, and I don't expect him to, but he didn't have a black agenda because he was saying things, you know, hey, that's not right. What's happening to black folks, and they should be able to kneel and all this. Okay, that's fine. So how does that turn into a policy that you're going to enforce when you get in office?
I get you.
What does that
but what I'm equate saying is, to? But what I'm saying though, and I get that 100%, and I agree with you 100%.
And again, what I just said was black folks are stuck on personalities.
Right.
Oh, wow, he's talking a good game. Look at that. Man, it's just how they come across,
before,
though.
You said something before. You were saying that politics is a what's in it for me business.
Right.
Right. And this is what I'm saying. If he was in New York or something like that, where it was already heavily liberal, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would think that that would make more sense with what you're saying. And I'm not saying that that's not the truth. And I'm not saying that he couldn't flip the script once he, you know, made it to the Senate. But what I'm saying is that if you're really trying to win, why would you even say those things in the state that you're in? You know what I'm saying? Where it's heavy military. Heavy Second Amendment, historically red state, historically anti-black. You know, they kill more niggas than cancer with the death penalty in Texas. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Damn, I said nigga again, didn't I? Damn.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, why would you campaign on that or even mention those issues? Why not sidestep those issues? Why make that? Because whenever you align yourself politically with anything black, that's kind of like the you know, the death blow to your political campaign. Why would you do that?
Because he wants to get the black vote.
But what I'm saying though is, it's like, I mean, the state is historically red though, is what I'm saying. It just doesn't make good political sense if it's not sincere.
If you need to take down Cruz,
maybe he's looking past this. I'm thinking that if what you're saying is true, perhaps he's looking past this. So he's saying, you know what? Fuck this. I don't really want to be a senator. I kind of want to be president anyway. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's the deal. I mean, and I'm not saying that people aren't calculating and aren't cold enough to think about this shit, but I'm just saying that I felt the sincerity behind the shit that he was saying more so than a lot of other motherfuckers that are actually black. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean
that's what white folks, that's what
they
I'm
plan out their great their grandkids' future, mm-hmm. right? They look way down the line. Black folks are typically day to day. We look
we're just on survival mode. If the hot donuts nail sign is on.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? What's going on this weekend?
Right, right.
And you know, white folks have a planning, they plan out. So he's probably thinking 2020, 2024. Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, he may be doing that. I give him the benefit of the doubt, man, because like I said, I felt like it was sincere, and I felt like that, you know, when I looked at everything that all these candidates were saying, you know, in their respective races, whether it was gubernatorial or Senate or House or whatnot, he came across as the most authentic. And that's just, and I know it's personality, I know it's politics, but I'm just saying, to me, he came across as the most authentic. And it was telling, because I'm thinking like, I don't even connect with these black people like this.
Yeah.
And that's what was
charisma.
It was troubling. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, why y'all not doing this? Why y'all not speaking to the people that are really, really supporting you?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And that's where I get kind of emotional about this shit, because I'm thinking like, we out here for you and pushing for you. We the one, you know, you got churches and shit, and you got pastors and shit laying hands on you and shit, right. You know, saying, oh, white Jesus, please let her get elected kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got people that are, you know, truly, you know, engulfed by their faith, trying to give you the vibes and the spirit and the pushing you forward, thinking that shit's really going to work.
That's why they call it campaign.
But they're invested in you.
Yeah.
But you're not really invested back. Your words show that you're not really invested back.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you speak at it's kind of like a high level overview.
Right.
You know, when you talk about economic empowerment.
Right.
Economic empowerment to who?
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying? I mean, you know, but yet you'll speak directly. You will speak directly. Or as Stacey Abrams said, it's economic mobility. Georgia economic mobility.
Yeah. I mean,
for who? Right? But.
And we may get some of the breadcrumbs out of a lot of these platforms, but we've been getting breadcrumbs since
forever.
For centuries.
Right. But it goes to your point, though, man. What you were saying is like economic mobility. But you'll speak directly to LGBTQ and their rights.
Right.
You speak directly to that. And you'll speak directly to immigrant justice. We can't even get black motherfucking justice.
Got the bag.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
it speaks to the economics behind it.
Right. So, you know, the next political cycle is going to be, you know, I'm really interested to see what these things are going to happen. You know, what's going to happen in these elections, you know, in the recounts and shit like that. I don't know how long it's going to take. But I'm really curious to see, man. And I appreciate you, Reg, because, you know, we had a lot of, you know, pre-air conversation, and it really made me. I still have some of the feelings that I have, but it really made me think about, you know, the process in and of itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm never going to be anti-voting, but I understand, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say I respect and will defend people's right to abstain from the process. However, I don't necessarily respect you for it. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, we definitely got to hold these people accountable prior to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you can say LGBTQ, you can say black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can say black. I mean, if you want immigrant justice, you can say, I'm tired of black people getting shot in the middle of the fucking street by cops.
But if she feels that way, or if he feels that way, we automatically assume because they're black that they got our back.
Right.
About some of the things that we see that's going on or whatever,
right,
that they know that's going on as well.
Right.
But we automatically assume.
Right.
So we, you know, we shouldn't necessarily vote for someone because they're black, even though I think I probably would. Most people probably would vote for their own kind, if you will, their own race or group of people.
But shit, we wouldn't even go to a motherfucking black sandwich shop and buy sandwiches and fries and a drink, though.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We got a lot of work to do. And you said it earlier. Right. We got a lot of work to do first. But, you know, we just got to stay on code about how we handle things. And we have to take it as business, not personal. Stop going, falling for the okie doke. Oh man, he's charismatic. Oh, the person that, oh, she brought in Oprah. Oprah has not, I respect what she's done in her craft, but she's not in the black struggle day in, day out on concerns that these grassroots cats that are doing it daily. She's separated from that. So she's going to come and, I'm not disparaging Oprah per se, but I'm just saying how they bring in celebrities. Yeah. That's why it's called a campaign.
I'll be honest with you. I was kind of, if I was a Georgia voter, I probably still would have voted for Stacey Abrams. Because the other choice is like, you know, motherfucking crooked ass attorney general. I mean, it's kind of like,
right.
She can't do no worse than that. So I get it.
But I'll be honest,
man, that kind of put me off though. You know, when you go for the celebrity thing like that, I mean, I'm sure it helped her, you know, to try to get more people out. But I, just like you said, man, I mean, Oprah's so distanced from that, from everyday life. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, and I get it. Like I said, it's the
Beyonce
campaign.
I feel that.
But, you know, it didn't do anything for me, you know. I probably would have voted for her anyway. If I was a Georgia voter, but you know, it didn't tilt me either way. It just kind of put me off. But at the end of the day, man, you know, good luck to everybody on their recounts and shit. I hope that you can put black in your vocabulary at some particular point.
Please.
You know what I'm saying? Put this shit in your vocabulary. And, you know, I guess we'll do a follow up, you know, later on to check and to see what's up with that. So, but in the meantime, man, hey, we appreciate y'all checking us out. And, as always, man, if you got any comments or questions, especially if you're in the Georgia, Florida area, Florida, hit us up, man. We get a lot of listeners from down in the area. As a matter of fact, I think with last time I checked, it was like 5% of our listenership is in Miami.
Okay.
So, Miami,
Dade County,
Dade County, you know, all the people up in, you know, in Jacksonville and Tallahassee and all the other spots, man, Tampa, St. Pete, all that shit, man. Holler at us, man, 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, send us a text. I'll respond to everything, man. One of us going to get back with you one way or the other. Florida residents, I need to know why y'all fucking up. You know what I'm saying? Why y'all keep fucking up, man? Go to the goddamn polls and cast your vote on time, bro.
And one quick thing, I would like to encourage anyone with a black agenda, whatever, I'm just curious to see what people's agendas are, what their black agenda is in those states or wherever you live. I'm just curious. I just want to throw that out there because everyone has different interests where you live, things that are important to you, and it could be something that we could build upon as well, because we have to start thinking about self-sustaining our economy, building, always think about building. And so an agenda sort of keeps you in place as far as what your strategy is, what's important to you. So feel free to send fresh your agenda, your black agenda.
Yeah, text or
enter that. Text
or email or something. Email icbwpodcast@gmail.com, icbwpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, man, the phone number is 704-946-6060. I'll keep saying that shit until my battery runs down, man. So, 704-946-6060. I will respond, man. We appreciate all the engagement that you guys give us. Like I said, we respond to everybody. We're going to have another show, Here's What They Think About You show coming up, probably within the next few episodes, because I've gotten a lot of text and Facebook comments and things like that I haven't had a chance to compile, but I have responded to, haven't had a chance to compile them. But we'll talk about that on the show coming up in the future, man, because people have been giving us a lot of feedback. Again, we just don't put the positive shit out there too, man. A lot of people challenge what we say, which is cool, because that's the kind of dialogue that we want.
Right.
Y'all ain't right. Because, you know, the show's called I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't right. But, you know, I definitely want to acknowledge the fact that you're listening and that we appreciate your listenership. And I mean, regardless of whether or not you agree, whether you hate what the fuck we say, whether you love what we say, whether or not you challenge it, have a different perspective. Listen, man, even if you're a racist, man, if you listen and you're racist, I actually appreciate that. And, you know, I would appreciate it more if you would actually hit me up and tell me why you're such a fucking racist. Let's have a dialogue. You know what I'm saying?
Sounds inviting.
I'm just saying, though, bro. I'm just saying. I mean, we appreciate, you know, all of the listenership because, I mean, hopefully, man, we can get inside some people's minds and let them understand why racism is so fucking bad for business. You know, if the United States was a Fortune 500 company, man, we'd be ready to file fucking bankruptcy. Mm. Because racism is that fucking bad for business, bro. It's that fucking bad. So again, like I said, 704-946-6060. Hit us up, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, man.
Yep.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man is a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.